In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The words you just heard are words of Jesus that I frankly find almost incomprehensible. So far are they above my limited abilities, limited intellect. But then some things are always beyond the realm of the intellect and belong to that higher realm of faith. For where Jesus is, you are never alone. The following that I'm about to read to you, I found in the file of the late Dr. George Krause. Dr. Krause was a professor here at Fort Wayne in the 1980s. There's no attribution of authorship on this brief piece, but it does sound to me like something that could have come from the pen of Dr. Krause himself. A delicate circle of wax encircles a pinpoint of tar that was once a candle wick. The life of a candle, at one time casting soft light to grace the corner of the room, a barely discernible scent, lending its special warmth to the study. The life is gone. The lifeless shell remains as so much untapped fuel. In the final minutes, the candle wick has feverishly burned that soft wax closest to itself, withdrawing gradually from the vital supply of wax it must have to fulfill its sole mission. In a last flaming effort, the wick has consumed itself. Then, in a whiff of acrid smoke, it was cold. The light gone, the fragrance forgotten, the remaining wax shell only a memorial to the light that might have been. A library of the world's greatest theologians, a coliseum of scriptural knowledge, encircles a pinpoint of a man who was once a pastor. The life of a pastor, at one time aglow with the light of the gospel, an embodiment of the compassion of his master in the distribution of his Lord's sacraments, the Savior's ear in confession, his heart in absolution. That life is gone. The word of God, which at one time so permeated the young man's heart, remains distant from him now, as so much strength untapped. In the final years, months, weeks, days, he desperately consumed those nearest to him, his books, his friends, his elders, his staff, his family. And finally, withdrawing dangerously within himself and away from the vital supply of God's word and sacraments, which he must have in order to fulfill his soul mission, he consumes himself. His light gone, his compassion faltering, he becomes a negative memorial to the love and abiding strength of his Creator. In this world, you will be alone. And there is a price, a heavy price to pay for that loneliness. That was a lesson that the disciples certainly had to learn. Remember that these men had heard the call of the Master, and like Abraham and the saints of old, they had left everything to follow him. And they didn't know where they were going, only that he would lead them. They had heard his words of grace. They had seen his compassion in his miracles. They had touched his hands. Yes, even in all of their mortal senses, this Jesus was very real to them. But soon, all too soon, he would be gone from their eyes, gone from their hearing, from their touch. These disciples would watch as the very multitudes to whom Jesus had gone in compassion and love, the ones to whom he had proclaimed the very kingdom of God would turn on him and demand his death. These disciples would know the horror of Calvary. They would know that chilling coldness of a tomb. Yet they would also know the great and glorious morning of the resurrection. They had shared all that, or would soon share it in the coming days. And then they would go to a hill, and the resurrected one would ascend away from their sight. And so there is a time between the day of the ascension and the coming of the Spirit on Pentecost when the disciples lived in a kind of interim. Something like the church lives in this day, between ascension and Pentecost. Now, I don't know, I don't have that ability to know what the disciples thought during those days of waiting. I know what I would have thought, and it would have been a question. Where are you, Lord? You know, the answer to that question doesn't depend on what you are, but on who you are. Jesus said of the world around us, "Yet a little while and the world will see me no more." That world, whether first century or 21st century, will not see him because they cannot see him. Didn't Jesus speak of the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him? As far as the world is concerned, this Jesus is dead and gone. At most, a possibly historic figure who has no real relevance to life today. The best the world can offer to all who live within its kingdom is the isolation and loneliness that is the deepest isolation and loneliness, a life that is lived apart from the Creator and Redeemer of all. But you are not of this world, though you are in this world. You were transferred from the kingdom of darkness and despair to his kingdom of light and hope. That is who you are. Not one who cannot see him, but one to whom Jesus said the words, "You will see me." And though we know those words, yet there's still, I don't think, one of us here today who has not or will not reach a point in life where we ask that question that we know we really don't want to ask. Where are you, Lord? It doesn't matter what you are. You might be a student at a desk, or you might be the professor at the lectern. You might be a pastor-elect, a vicar-elect. You might be a deaconess-intern-elect. You might be a lay person simply serving Christ in whatever vocation you follow. Even in a crowd, you can feel alone. So terribly alone. The world, the devil, and your own flesh will do everything in their power to convince you that you are, in fact, on your own, that no one is with you. Who can you turn to? Who will understand that intensely deep loneliness that can overcome and does overcome all of us? Maybe you can even cover that loneliness up with a flurry of activity, even the most pious activity, and in doing it, convince everybody. Or at least you think, the people around you, yourself, maybe even God. But soon, that flurry of activity reveals what it is. another emptiness, more powerful than ever. And that question again, where are you, Lord? No, it doesn't matter who you are, or what you are, but it does matter who you are. And that makes all the difference. You are not of the deathly culture and kingdom of this world. You are of Christ, made so by the Savior himself. Listen to what he says. You will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Listen to that. You'll see him. Because he lives, you will live. That is who you are. One who has been so bound together with Jesus through baptism that you have already died with him. You have already been raised with him. So that you even now live forever. And yes, you will see him, certainly on that last day, but on that last day, the entire creation, after the resurrection of all flesh, get to see Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you get to see him even now, even in the midst of this earthly life, even in the moment of your deepest loneliness. There where the world cannot see him, you have what those disciples had so long ago. Wherever you are, even in the loneliest place in your life, his Spirit dwells with you and is in you. You hear him. You hear him in his servant, as his servant speaks our master's great and glorious, incredible words. Your sin is forgiven. You see him, yes, you smell and taste and touch him. At that altar with bread and wine. And you know, but Peter and John and Matthew and all the others knew. There is an answer to the question. That question, where are you, Lord? You know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.